guys. Hey, what's up? What's going on? What's happening? What's popping? Tonight we're gonna be doing all comics, talking about all the comics. It's a comic show, and it's just the three of us again. Technical difficulties 3, Tristan 0. So we're just gonna roll along, and we're gonna figure this out, and we're gonna pour one out for Tristan, and yeah. But we
Morphers out for Tristan.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's all right. It's all good. So for the comics today, we are going to be discussing MMPR issues 18, 19, and 20.
Excellent.
We are going to be discussing Go-Go Power Rangers issues 2, 3, and 4.
Excellent.
God tier.
But first.
Oh, combo breaker.
There's another one? There's another one? What? No. Pink's been over forever. There's
no other Pink 2? All right, Pink 2.
No. The Justice League / Power Rangers finally ended.
It limped to the finish line in the same way that Pink did, with the last couple issues coming out late.
Finally ended. And so we haven't discussed it, really. Not in its full essence. And I'm not going to lie that I personally did not feel like rereading 1 through 5 to refresh my memory. And I personally did not feel like reading 6.
But there's so much plot there, Lisa, though. You got to really get back into it, you know? You got to recap.
After they put the Asian girl in a stereotypical garb that is Asian, then I'm just like, you know what? I'm good.
Like, they couldn't have made her Wonder Woman? Like, it's not that difficult. It's not that hard, guys. I swear.
Well, I mean, they were going for Justice League members that weren't there, but yeah, there were other females they could have picked from. There were a few more.
Many females, but no, they were like, what's Asian? Let's put her in that one. I'm just like, you know what? DC Comics, how about you stick to ruining your own franchises?
No, but Justice League movie is going to be so great, Lisa. It's going to be so good.
Supposedly, from all of our mutual friends, the DC Comics actually are really good nowadays, but there's always an exception.
And it's this one. Yeah.
Yeah.
So does Boom always have to be putting out, like, an extra comic that sucks just to make sure their main comics are good? Yeah.
Yes. We need a contrarian point of view. Over here, we have good stuff, but when we do stuff that deviates from that, you can just remember how good the main line is.
It's a loss leader. It's a loss leader of the franchise. We appreciate that, Boom. We appreciate it.
Yes. Don't worry. We'll put most of that blame on DC.
Yeah, for sure. And this is supposed to be like a lightweight crossover. It's not supposed to mean anything. Like, I totally understand. This was not going to, like, rock the world. But it still could have been, like, was it worse than Pink?
See, the problem with that theory is that last year they did a Batman Ninja Turtles crossover that was pretty darn good.
Yeah.
And you're talking to somebody who literally loathes the character of Batman. Like, I cannot stand him. He is the worst superhero in history, and it was a good series. So.
I think it probably didn't help that they were like, we have to use all the characters we can, and nobody gets... I mean, like, Zack is going to have a small focus, but it's not going to really amount to anything.
Well, Zack's entire focus is hating himself.
Yeah, yay.
And then Batman has to condescend to him like he's Mick.
God. And of course, the comic has to end with a dumb cliffhanger that makes no sense. It's like, look, you already delayed your issues, right? And you knew that these weren't selling. You should have just scrubbed that ending. Just put a black box over it and be like, the end.
The demand for a sequel is not high.
Nope. And like, look, guys, there's some dumb, fun fan service. Like, Kim shoots an arrow because she's it's like, Green Arrow. Sure, fine, whatever. But if I don't care about the actual story, the little fan servicey moments don't really matter, like, at all.
Yeah, and we said this before, but like, and I know we're just repeating, but like, the fact of the matter is that when you have a series where the regular Megazord is fighting Lord Zedd, you're basically saying that the people who are writing this don't care.
Yeah.
Because they didn't take the time to learn the most basic information, or if they did know it, they didn't care about it.
Yeah, and I assume they were trying to go for the most recognizable elements of Power Rangers, which, like, I can understand. And again, this is a dumb comic that is never, ever be considered in continuity. So that's not my biggest issue. Like, if the story had been good.
But try, mm-hmm. at least know, like, at least wink, wink, nudge, nudge the audience. Like, either talk, you know, beyond the fourth wall, or, like, try to weave in something like, yo, like, we don't know this dude. Who this dude is? Like, you know what I mean? Like, something, mm-hmm. not just be like, yup, I know you know me, we good, and that's it. Nah.
It's also a problem because in some universe, I guess, a DC Comics fan picks up this comic and doesn't know anything about the Power Rangers comic line and only knows it from the show. And this should have been like a, hey, Power Rangers comics are kind of awesome. But they read this, it's like, oh, Power Rangers sucks. No, thank you.
Yeah, I think that's the main thing for me, is that this did absolutely nothing in the realm of making a non-Power Rangers fan want to pick up the comic. There's no there was no incentive for them whatsoever, because the characters were bland and boring, and very few of them had any characterization whatsoever. Zach looked like a straight punk the entire time. Like, why am I supposed to like the Rangers if I'm not a fan?
Exactly.
I think one would hope that if one is a fan of comics in general, then they would listen to their friends who also read comics and say, nah, son, this ain't representative of my people. You need to go cop this. You know what I mean? So hopefully that happened more than not.
Well, I think that's my problem as a comic book fan nowadays is, you know, I've been reading comics every single week for many, many years now. And my thing is that now more than ever, fans, including me, are trying to cut back, because even the most basic comic book is $4. Like, that is the general price for any comic book out there. Maybe there's a few that are a little less, but more than often you're looking at $4 for one comic of anything. So a lot of people are like, oh, I don't have that sort of disposable income to be buying 20 comics a week like I used to. People are cutting down to 10 or 5 comics a week. So to get somebody to start something new is harder nowadays than ever. You really have to bring it. People are becoming connoisseurs, and they are like not just saying, I'm following this character forever because I like this character. They're like, I need to like the writer, and I need to like the art, and it has to be something that the whole package makes me want to spend $4. So when you look at this comic where, I'm sorry, the art's pretty bland, not that great. The writing equals that bland, not that great. The nothing really comes from this team up. It feels like the complete and utter fluff that it is. Like, how are you going to tell a Power Rangers fan to start buying JLA comics, and how are you going to tell a JLA fan to start buying Power Rangers comics? Because this did nothing to make either of them look very interesting.
Oh god, yeah, I didn't even think about that, because I don't read like any of the DC or Marvel comics, right? Outside of like a couple of graphic novels that I'll get out of the library. This could have been your time to be like, hey, Justice League, unlike the movies, doesn't suck. And I read this, I'm like, yep, same old, same old. Superman has a 5 o'clock shadow for no reason. Is that a thing?
Mm-hmm.
But when I was going to the comic book store, you know, first buying these comics, well, not this one, but I mean, in general.
Good ones.
And, you know, like, you know, and then the people in the store, it was just like, yep, like, because I would ask, like, oh, I'm looking for MMPR, whatever, whatever. It's like, yeah, we have these here, and then we have, like, this is when, like, you know, the first, like, all these variants were out and whatever. And so they were just like, yeah, you know, I can recommend this, and you, yeah, and then, you know, I heard good things about this comic, and blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. So I would assume, question mark, that sort of talk still happens, not only in the stores, but, you know, amongst friends. It was like, yeah, this particular comic of this particular franchise was horrible, but this one you need to go check out. So I'm saying, I hope for more of the word of mouth, you know? Instead of, like, it's just like, well, you pick this one up, you're like, okay, all this is horrible, all that's horrible. Because I understand, I hear you, I hear what you're saying, you know, people's monies, you know, we gotta, you know, keep it tight. But yeah, I don't think, me personally, I think that a lot more people know that this is not representative of either franchise.
You would hope.
I'm sure the sales numbers by the end, you know. I mean, nobody cared by the end. Who cares about a delayed comic that has a bad story, except for, like, completists?
Yeah, well, and that's the thing, is you would hope it the word of mouth helps, but the point is that, like, the word of mouth is required, because the series itself did no favors.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's, like, really sad. Like, I mean, usually when we come on a show and we're preparing are the material that we're going to talk about, make sure that we, no matter how much we may not like the material, mm-hmm. we make sure that we either watch it, read it, whatever. This one, I'm just like, you know what? I got better things to do. I must just skim through. Like, I mean, literally, like, what am I going to talk about after so many eons that this thing, like, decided it wanted to finish? And really, you should have just kind of just let it be and not really, I mean, or release it in like one of those volume one series that we're gonna get, you know,
a trade,
like,
paperback,
you know, just release it in something else, and then we'll, you know, you'll read it amongst the other good stuff, you know. So
yeah, oh no, put it in one of those giant compilation hardcovers and be like, all right, well, I guess I'll buy this too for completeness sake.
Yeah, like, why bother?
And, you know, this comic didn't even have the decency to be, like, so ghastly horrible you had to, like, pick apart how bad it was, like Pink was. Like, that comic was so bad you had to, like, go almost page by page and say, God, this was bad. This was just like, yep, it's here. It exists.
In case you're wondering, the hardcover of this will be available on December 12th.
Ooh, put that on your Christmas list.
Yep, for the low, low price that for you of for $17.
Spent $17 on you, Lisa. It's coming straight to you, wrapped in everything.
If you even try that mess,
I'll send you Pink too. I'll send you Pink. It's your favorite comic.
I will legitimately go to your house and beat the crap out of you.
Okay. Worth it?
Cannot believe. Don't ever send me this crap. But yeah, but I mean, like, you, no.
Oh my no. Gosh. I'm just looking at the reviews on Amazon, the editorial poll quotes.
Oh no.
The crossover event of 2017 is already here. Writer Tom Taylor and artist Stephen Byrne have put together an epic tale, Crave Online.
Crave, stop lying.
IGN says, for fans, by fans, this book is why comics exist.
See, I thought you were about to say for fans like this.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so I mean, really, like, honestly, we're not trying to, I'm literally going through the comic as I'm talking to you guys. There's nothing to talk about. Like, I don't, like, okay, great. So, like, Brainiac, then they defeated him, maybe, sort of, not really, because they're the cliffhanger. Ooh, Alpha is Brainiac now. Ooh. Like, and you know what cliffhanger, you ain't gonna continue this anyway, so nobody cares. Like, you knew that this was a one-off, like, so don't even try it, right?
Exactly.
Don't even try it. You knew, like, I'm not saying that, let's say this actually was good, right? Even if this was good, don't give me no cliffhanger. Because if not, you know it's a one-off, you know, you don't know if you're gonna do another one. So don't give me a cliffhanger, just give me... You can give us little remnants of here and there, but not like this big old cliffhanger of, oh my gosh, look it out. Like, no, because you're not coming back.
I just like nitpicking the art. Look at that page you're talking about, the very last page. Are you on that? see. Like, look at the first panel and look at Trini's hand.
What? No.
What is her hand?
Stop. Stop it.
What is
stop,
happening?
Stop.
Why is it a three-fingered nub?
Why is she, like, saluting?
Yeah,
why does she look like she's hailing somebody?
Yeah, she's hailing
She's hailing Brainiac.
Yeah, she's hailing Brainiac with her stub.
Oh, that's bad.
If that were Zach, understand. Understood.
Oh,
wow.
I just don't get, like, again, I understand, like, you know, they've drawn the pages, like, they, you know, they don't want to spend more money and have somebody draw a new page. Like I said, literally, just, like, have that top panel right there where they're, like, by Justice League, and then just put, like, a black bar, or just have, like, some art from another issue, and just put, like, some text that's, like, thanks for reading. Done.
Or, yeah, have an ad. Like, have a, you know, a three-quarter ad. Like, that's it. We're done.
Yeah. Have Boom. No, Boom will buy the three-quarter ad and be like, sorry, this sucked. Look at our other ones. It's like, now read the actual thrilling adventures.
Oh my gosh.
Oh no, just have a three-quarter page editor's note that's like, all right, guys, we messed up. We don't know why you bought this. Sorry.
Yeah, just keep things by, you know, hashtag all comics matter, not this one. And yeah, no, it's okay. It's okay. Like, I mean, I think we're done. Like, I mean, I am nothing.
It just exists. It just exists. Like you said earlier, we can't, like, sit here and destroy it like Pink because it's just so bland.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's just nothing, man. Oh, yeah, we're done.
So on to the good stuff? On the good stuff?
On to the good things. Let's talk about the good things.
Should we do the main line first, MPR?
Might as well.
Yes. Yes.
Which issue? You said 18?
18.
18.
Okay.
From 17, right? We learned that, hey, this lady that's called Grace Sterling, and she's all up in there in the Kool-Aid, you know? And we thought she didn't know the flavor, but it turns out she does.
She is the flavor, dare I say.
So, welcome to flavor country.
I was about to say, like, that's a new phrase, though. She knows the flavor? Is that a new thing people are saying?
Wait, what?
No, that's
old. Yeah, the phrase. Oh, is it old? Oh, wow, I missed that one. Wow.
It's very old.
Oh my god, I never heard that before today. Wow.
She all in the Kool-Aid but don't know the flavor? Like,
yeah, I never heard that. Never.
Oh, Seamus.
Let's bring it back. It's all new.
Okay, all right. Do you know what that means?
Yeah, I don't know. Context clues, I can figure it out.
Explain it, just in case.
No, you know what? No, I'm good, actually. I'm not going to try. There's your episode title. What's the flavor?
Oh my gosh. Yes. So, welcome to the 90s. So, but yes. And then I'm going to be skipping around, y'all. I am.
That's fine.
Because, you know, right? Because 18 through 20 is, you know, just your mind gets a little, you know.
Well,
so, go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, the one thing I want to say before we, like, start skipping too much is, like, I really enjoyed the fact that this first issue, 18, brought back the whole concept from the annual of just how, like, evil and twisted Finster can be.
Yeah.
Because that was, like, our favorite story from that last annual, and we're really getting some focus on him now that, like, the big main battle has died down for the time being, and we can focus on these smaller characters that do play big roles. Like, Finster is just a psychotic old man that really likes to play God. Like, it's fascinating to see, because, I mean, really, that is his whole thing, is that, like, he just creates life out of nowhere all the time. And now we're really seeing what can happen. Because, I mean, even as a kid, like, we all sat there and said, like, why isn't he making a bunch of monsters? Why isn't he making a million monsters? If he can make a million putties, just throw a million monsters at these Rangers at once, you know? And now we're realizing now that, like, yeah, in his people. Downtime. Yeah, he's in his downtime. People. He's just, he's a freak, man. Like, I love it so much.
It's like he's making people monsters. It's like they look like people and then they turn to putties.
Like, yeah, that's the scary part. Is it's easy when a guy, like a giant frog, comes at you or whatever, but like when it's a person and you don't know it's a bad guy, like that can be even scarier because you don't even know who to fight.
Well, even in issue 18, they have like those two pilots and they're like, no, it's like we're real. And Jason and Tommy are like, are we sure? We don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like.
It is Finster. Like, I like how you think out of these, you know, the annuals and the this and that, and even with Go-Go or whatever, because you think that they're all kind of insular until they're not. And then when they're not, and then you realize, like, oh, no, wait, they're actually kind of carrying the characteristics or the some of the plot points between amongst the annual, the Go-Go's, the MMPR, and it's like, oh, this all kind of ties in together like it's supposed to, and it's a wonderful thing, you know, with Finster and how he acts, and then later on there's some things with Jason and how he act. Like, there's certain things that you're just like, wait a minute, like, you know, these are actually making this continuity, in a sense, a word that people believe, you know. Like it's nice to see. So,
well, it's also good that apparently the two main writers for MMPR and Go-Go, they apparently like talk to each other every day. Mm-hmm. About like, oh, like, how can we make this connect? How can we make this all good? And like, let's tell each other our plots. You know, it's like they're actually working together. What an idea.
What an idea.
Whoa, that's a VR Troopers reference. Wow. That's
right.
Boom. And also, let's not lie. Like, especially as, like, intense as, especially issue 18 was, there was a lot going on. The monster names that they make fun of are amazing. Carbadillo and Borlock. Beautiful.
Yeah, I will say one thing is that as much as I like the more realistic style that we've been getting, with comics in general, with Power Rangers comics, the monsters they tend to make don't really fall in line with Power Rangers monsters. But I feel like the stupid names here really worked. Like, it actually felt like they were more PR monsters.
It's like they don't forget, like, as much as they are, and I don't want to say this in a bad way, they're making, these comics are taking the story a little more seriously and they're fleshing it out. They're still having fun, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Although, when you, you don't mind a bad line, like, bad in sense, like, oh, look, haha, get my joke, haha. You don't mind one of those when the story around it has been very good, instead of you having to watch a show and all you get are bad lines throughout every single fight scene ever in life, and around it the story isn't that great either. So yeah,
but what show are you talking about, Lisa? You're not talking about Ninja Steel, right? No.
What? What's that? I never heard of it.
I don't know what you're talking about.
But yeah, like what you're saying though is here, like when they do the bad lines in battle, it feels intentional. Like, it feels like we're trying, here's a little bit of embracing the traditional PR spirit, but then we're still going to tell you our much more serious, crazy story.
Yeah. So, Grace Sterling. I'm just going to put this out there right now. I don't like her.
Okay. Why you say that?
Still don't like her. Because she acted a little too shady. You know what I mean? Like, you know, 18, you know, she real shady. 19, still shady. But like, you know, like 20 was like, well, or well, 19 into 20 was like, well, you know, I know this because I was the Red Ranger, and, you know, and I'm just like, I get it. I understand that, you know, you gonna carry yourself with some swag, but you can't carry yourself with a lot of swag because you don't, I mean, most of your team dies, so.
I think You're meant to mistrust her at the beginning, but I think with the latest issue, they gave us a pretty solid reason for why she doesn't really have a lot of faith in Zordon and his ways.
Yeah.
You see it that way.
Yes. Like, she's had the experience, and then she's like, okay, this giant floating head doesn't really know what he's talking about. And
I got to take care of this myself.
Yeah, so when he gets a new team, I think on one hand, she's operating from the mindset of, I need to help them because Zordon's stupid. I mean, she also obviously wants to protect the world in general, but I do think that at this point in time, it feels like she does have the best interest of both the world and the Rangers at heart, but her first priority is the world, because she's also thinking, like, you guys signed up for this. Like, you know, you should know Zordon's just as crazy as I do. So I'm going to try to help you here, but...
See, yeah. I didn't see it that way. I saw it as her being a Rita 2.0.
Really? Oh.
I saw it as, I mean, not as, like, psychotic, but, like, hey, here's the way that I see that... that the world should be saved, and I need to save you guys from this crazy fool who's going to lead you to die, right? So you want to join me, and you know we can do this and whatever without that dude. And then, like, she's, you know, her and Jason's like, you know what, we good, we straight, we don't need your help, we're good, you know me, what I'm saying. But then in her mind, she's like, bro, well then, these kids, they mean well, but I need to get to Zordon and we need to finish this. You know what I mean? Like, that's where I'm seeing this. I'm seeing her as like a, you know, like a different version of Rita, but only more like, but not as like witch-like and, you know, completely evil.
Well,
just like how like Rita... In the earlier issues, you know, she was just like, listen, hey, I want Earth to be straight chilling and cool and whatever. You gonna listen to this fool Zordon? So, I don't know. That's how I read it. That's why I don't trust her. I don't know. I don't know, man.
Well, I mean, I do agree with the sense that I think that in her perfect world, Zordon would be gone and she would be in his spot. But I also think that she doesn't have the sort of malicious intent that a Rita would. Where, like, I think she wants to protect the world. She just wants to be in charge of protecting it, but she doesn't, like, need monuments in her name or anything like that, you know? We're like, you know. And
but also, to be fair, we don't know what she's been up to since the 60s, right?
True. True.
Yeah. Why she look the same, though?
She doesn't look exactly the same, but she looks younger than she should.
She looks spry. You know what I mean? It's more than a little nip nip and a tuck tuck now. I don't know why she look like she's still in her 20s, you know? I mean, now she might look like she in her 40s, but hello, I'm just saying. We're just gonna, you know, anyway.
She's working with Finster. Call it.
This took place when they were it was the first team. This was in 69, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
And so this comic is taking place current 2017, you know, something like that. So that's a good, she looked young.
She should be in her 60s, right? Like 60s, 70s.
For real. Like, she should be senior citizen AARPing up in this beat. Like, that's why I'm saying I don't trust her.
That should have been when she identified herself to the Ranger. She pulls out her AARP card. Yeah, you know what's up.
I mean, you know, get up in there with that, with the Bengay and all them other things. Like, you need to, like, I don't know. So, I still don't trust her, but this whole notion of there being a team before this team that we all know, there being a team that was comprised of people from all around the world instead of just like, oh, look, just all these teams from, like, United States. And not just United States, California. You know, so like, you know, so like that whole notion of, let's just talk about for a moment. Right? He formed his team, okay? So before he formed this team, we see it. I'm talking about 20, because 20.
Yes. Well, 20's everything. 20's the real good one.
20, okay. So we first see 20, and Grace, young Grace, or, well, she's still young Grace, but. So.
Well, you know, like, in terms of how she looks, she should be, like, 2 years old, but, you know, whatever.
Mm.
So young Grace is on the roof, and some black dude, she talked to a black dude, and yo, young Grace is mad because she couldn't go to the moon. You know what I mean? She's just like, and I did this, and I did that for these people, and I did this for Nisada, and whatever. And I just couldn't go because I'm a woman, right? They didn't say all that, but this is what they're saying. And the guy was just like, listen, don't worry, y'all are our time, right? You know, because he black. He's like, our time will come, all right? You know, we just gotta like press on and just hope for the best or whatever. She wasn't having it, you know what I mean? Because she's just like, listen, I do all this work, so you know I'm feeling Grace. You know what I mean? I'm feeling young Grace. You know what I'm saying? And all of a sudden she gets bloop bloop teleported away, and then you see her, and then a Brito, some British girl, and then a Russian dude. And a black dude and some young dude that has some
a hippie dude. Yeah,
here we go. And they all find like, what's going on, what's happening, blah, blah, blah. You know, like the normal stuff that you would see five people who don't know each other confused with and whatever. And you know, they're all talking about like, and so like the black dude fought in the Vietnam War, and the Russian dude is some spy who thinks everybody's dumb, and I mean, is he wrong? We'll see. But anyway, so then he thinks everybody's dumb, and then the British girl, she just plays the rock and roll, y'all.
I like how they have her talk. She calls like the Russian guy, you call me nut. Beautiful.
Yeah, and then you got the hippie guy who's just like, man, the war is wrong, man. The war is wrong. You know, so like, okay, you got all the nuts and bolts of 69 in that span, right? And so, of course, now you have Zordon giving his spiel about blah, blah, blah. This is a Power Ranger, whoop-de-whoop-de-woo. All right, here are your powers. All right, and Grace, you're going to be the leader because you know most about the moon stuff. And go. And then we're like, awesome. Great, Zordon. Good for you to make the girl the leader. This is great. Even more great. There's a dude who's pink. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Even more great,
there's a girl who's black. That's cool.
That's cool. I mean, yes, it is. Awesome. However, more awesome, dude who's pink.
Yeah.
It's pretty great. Course, it's pretty great.
I do enjoy, yeah. They messed up the colors as much as they possibly could.
Except for white, blue guy. They're like, eh.
Well, yeah, I mean, unless... Seamus, you think they're going to do three girls and two guys? That's crazy talk.
Oh, that would be ridiculous.
That would never happen.
You know, so... Yeah, it was, and I had to, when I was going through a comic, I had to flip back. I'm like, okay, wait, who's pink and who's yellow? Okay, all right. Black guy's the yellow one. Right. Let's see. Got it. Okay. Because it was just hard for me to remember. And it didn't take long for us to enjoy that the male was the pink ranger. Didn't take long. Meanwhile... back at the ranch, moon landing. Woo! First time we did the moon landing, and
woo!
One small step for blur, one giant leap for blur. And then you see a panel that has an awakened green Psycho Ranger. I'm like, oh, okay. What do you guys think about that whole?
I think that's just fine.
I think it's fine too. I mean, it you know, it's obvious that there should be one. I think it makes a lot of sense that agreement would exist and he would be the one by himself. Obviously fitting with the original theme and the whole idea that, like, the Space Rangers were around at the same time as the original Rangers. They were Zordon's, like, little backup plan or whatever nonsense. And they have the same color scheme after we had a couple years in between where we added green to the main team. It, like, kind of flows really well in that sense. So to have a Psycho Green as the sixth one that's, like, by himself totally makes sense. I'm down with it.
And the fact that they also gave him a monster form, like, they went all the way.
Yeah. They gave him a monster form that fits with the monster forms of the other five.
And I like that they tied him into, like, Zordon has all these orbital weapons platforms. Like, he's really going in on it. So I like they also tied it in. It wasn't just for, like, dumb pandering fan service. And they also mentioned Dark Spectre, which is always nice. And it, to me, unlike, say, you know, Justice League, where they're just, like, throwing dumb stuff in there. Like, oh, look, here's Zed. And, you know, here's a Megazord. Here, this feels like, oh, it actually could lead to something in the future. And even if it doesn't, it's still a nice wink and nod that doesn't feel so out of place.
Right. Yeah, so I'm down for it. I think it's a good idea if you're trying to create a one-off villain and have that villain have some sort of impact. I think it's a great idea.
Yeah, you know, I was neither here nor there for it. I mean, you know, I was just like, okay, cool. Like, it didn't...
I mean, it could have been dumb. It could have been so
pandering.
Yeah,
it could have been the worst.
It could have been.
And the fact that it's a villain that does some major damage. Like, yeah, you defeat him in one issue, but, you know, he takes three of them with him, so...
Can we talk about that for a sec? Because when I first read this, right, I was like, oh no, Pink Ranger's mascot, you know, broken. That's fine, you know, it'll repair. Nope.
Yeah, when the boulder hit black, I was like, oh no, they're gonna have to push it off and get back to battle. Like, oh no, that's death.
No. Yeah, that was pretty dead.
Now, mind you, this doesn't make sense in the sense that Power Rangers is a universe where you can breathe in space.
Right.
We've established that many times.
Yeah, we've shown you can actually breathe on the moon.
Yeah.
Like without Mike, being morphed.
Mike floated in the middle of space and he was fine.
Well, maybe because that was recent times and not 69 times.
Oh, so they put air in space?
Oh, was that around the same time they decided to invent space horses?
Yeah, sure. Okay. They had to have space horses, so they're like, we gotta put oxygen in space. Maybe when Rita put her palace in space, they put an air pocket there and then it never left. You don't know.
Yeah, or the suits back in 69 were like the prototypes.
And that,
right? But Andros was running around the moon without being morphed, let's be fair.
And the palace is already there.
Although also maybe in comic universe you can't breathe in space. It is a different universe, let's be fair.
It is a different universe, yes.
Maybe, like, you know, Kyle took one look at that in the show. He's like, that's a dumb. You can't breathe in space. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. It is a pretty hardcore way to kill somebody, though. So
it is. Because, again, I really just thought it's like, oh, no. He'll be fine.
Oh, yeah,
nope.
He'll be fine. Yeah, no, we all thought, yeah, no, he'll be fine.
Yeah.
They'll put some force field around him so he can get his air back. You know, so, yeah, he'll be fine. Nope. Not at all.
Also, hey, shout out for Black Guy Living.
That's what I was going to say.
Right?
I was going to say, I have to say, right, as much as, you know, the girl, one of the girls dying first. Black guy lived. And not just for the sake of Black Guy Living. He's the one who's actually been in war.
It does make sense. Yeah. The person that you think is capable of being a leader and the guy who has the most war experience being the two to live makes the most sense.
Yeah. So there you go. Yeah, no, bravo. Bravo for not killing the black guy.
Right? And you gave Russian douchebag a chance to redeem himself. That was nice.
White guy sacrifices himself for the minority? What?
Right? Because you're sitting there thinking, oh, the primary colors live. That's nice. That makes sense. That's cool. Nope. Oh, jumping in.
Nope.
Well, again,
we got the martyr here.
Especially considering we've had episodes where Tommy jumped inside a monster and with a giant gun, and he lived.
Yeah, 69. It was
like they were weaker suits, I guess. Something.
Yeah, they were. Way weaker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but like the whole confrontation that Grace and what was his name? The black guy?
I don't know any of the other's names. Like they said them, but I couldn't figure out which one was supposed to. Like they said the Russian guy's name very specifically, but the rest I'm like, what?
Let me look. Hold on.
The Russian guy was Nikolai. That I remember.
Yeah.
Brito girl was Jamie. Daniel was the pink.
And then Torona.
Torona Washington.
His name is Torona.
Torona.
I've never heard that name.
I love it. It's a great name.
Bye, Torona.
Yep.
So Torona and Grace were left back, and they were just like, yo, Zordon, what the bleep were you thinking?
F you, Zordon.
Well,
the bleep.
And that's going to be the interesting thing now is in the present day, where's Torona?
Yo.
What's he doing?
Torona.
Torona. But
no, what's going to happen is Grace will be evil, like Lisa said, and then Torona has to come in and murder her. Boom. Done.
Yo.
But like,
he's the real hero.
So this is what Seamus and I were talking about before, and this is something that kind of also stems from the movie this year, is that one thing we noticed, like, as we became older fans, was always that Zordon is kind of stupid, kind of crazy, kind of random. And a lot of that always came from the fact that, you know, they were making Power Rangers for the first time, they were just randomly using Sentai footage, whatever, so they would always just have Zordon say something from week to week that fit with the footage, like, oh yeah, the Morphin Masters, eggs, all this sort of stuff, this all makes sense, blah blah blah. And the whole idea is that, like, Zordon needs to be fallible. Because the idea of an all-omniscient, like, mentor character is really boring. It always has been. Like, that was one of the bad things about Gosei. Like, there's a lot of this whole idea of you shouldn't have a mentor character that just always does the right thing. Because if he can do that, then he shouldn't be spoon-feeding them information little by little. Like, he should be giving them everything they need to know so they can just crush it from day one. And that was one of the cool things about the movie, was by having Zordon be the original Red Ranger, you came up with this concept of, like, it is a completely different ball of wax to be a leader on the field and to be a leader in a base trying to coordinate them. Like, it is two completely different jobs, and just because you're good at one, it doesn't mean you know what you're doing with the second one. So here, we make Zordon fallible again in the sense that, like, when we met the Rangers, you know, it was, oh, he just picked five friends from Angel Grove, and they made them Rangers, and they were great, and they kicked Rita's butt from day one, blah, blah, blah. Here, we actually see where he came to that conclusion, because he picked five people that were all very skilled, all very capable of being Rangers, but they were five people that didn't know each other and were, in a lot of cases, in direct conflict with one another, like had very diametrically opposed viewpoints. So just giving them power suits and putting them in battle is not going to automatically make them a team in the slightest. Like, it's better to have people that might not have quite the level of skills, but already have some sort of coordination amongst them. And by putting these five together that are all great individuals as a team, he got three of them killed. So it really showed that there are big stakes here. And, like, yes, he may have picked five teenagers with attitude, but at least he learned that through trial and error. Like, he made a huge mistake, and that's why he came to this conclusion and was able to create a team that was much better for it.
But, like, how are you just going to be like, yo, I'm sorry, you know, my bad?
Yeah, and I love that. Grace straight up, see, what is such a great thing is, just because you say you're sorry doesn't mean anything, because you still did bad stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't just be like, you know, when you say I'm sorry, yo, my bad, like, I took the last Snickers bar, okay? yo, my bad, yo, like, you wanted that last gum? Yo, that's my bad, I'm sorry, right? Oh, you know what? You know what? I really do apologize for being 10 minutes late. My bad. I made you wait. No. Those are. I'm sorry. Like, okay, fine. Okay, cool. Not like, you know. Ooh, three people died. Yeah.
My bad.
I'm sorry. Like, no. Like, no. Like, that's like, yo. I do not. I have no words. I am forever indebted to you. Like, you got. You can't just be like, I'm sorry. All right. No. Not. Nope. You can't have your powers now. Bye. Like, what?
Yeah.
What? You first. You say, yo, my bad, I'm sorry. Daniel, and then they're like, okay, well, you know, we're going to keep these powers so we can, like, keep fighting for good. And like, nah, you can't have these no more. Nah, I'm going to take these away. Like, what?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what?
Also, he says, Zordon's like, yeah, it's not our place to interfere in the affairs of mankind. It's like, bruh.
Well, and the good thing about this is that, like, it justifies Grace as a character. Like, you don't have to necessarily agree with her methods or like her all in all, but you understand where she's coming from, 100%.
Yeah.
That's the most important part.
Also, she has Psycho Green's weapon.
Right? What's
she doing with that?
She does. She does.
Can...
Mm-hmm.
Before that, can I say that last page, quick qualm here? Look where the command center is. Look at that forest!
What's up with that?
There's Why is forest? It in the middle of a forest?
maybe Alpha cut down those trees.
Like
Vasquez Rocks can't have these.
Yeah, Vasquez Rocks does not have all those trees around.
And the House of the Book doesn't have that many trees either. Let's be
fair.
It is
not on that flat surface in the middle of a forest.
In the middle of a forest.
What, did, like, Zordon teleport the command center somewhere else? Does he move it every couple years?
69. It was 69. It was
well, actually, place. Actually, maybe he did, so those two couldn't find it again.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Ooh, that's good.
That could be.
Yo, but for real, you guys know what I'm talking about when I say every time I see a shot of the command center, whether I'm rewatching the show or in the comic, I'm like, I've been there.
Right?
I know what it's like inside.
I still like telling casual fans, I will give you 900 guesses to tell me what that place actually is. You will never get it.
Never.
You will never in a million years guess what that place actually is.
Oh, boy. But, I have to say, you know, except for the parts where they always made the black guy look like he crazy.
yeah, the one shot where he's like, what?
What? Where are we?
Yeah, like, he literally legit always looks crazy. But, you know, 20 was solid. It was real. It was really
worth the hype.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And then leading up to 20. Okay.
Backtracking.
We still got more Zach goodness.
Zach calling people out.
Mm-hmm.
Zach be like, bruh, like, we need help, bruh. Like, I don't know about you, but I know somebody who can help. I don't know about you, but I know somebody who can give me some sleep. I don't know about you. But, you know, like, it's this whole situation of Zach still trying to be, I guess, trying to not just be the, I hate when people say second in command, like, who's the second in command? But, like, Zach trying to step up and be like, yo, Jason, like, you can't do this all by yourself. You can't do this. You can't just be up in the command center just not sleeping, you know. You gotta like get some help, like, and you know, this lady, she actually has like more resources than we do, so you know, you need to... She found Finster. We didn't find Finster. You didn't find Finster. We so yeah, and he did it in that high voice. So
I like it because it's following Zordon's like decree versus being actually pragmatic and wanting to do the actual best job possible without the most like personal damage to yourself, because Jason can get stuff done, but he's also practically killing himself.
Right.
By having to monitor by himself.
Also in GoGo, Zach calls out Zordon. He's like, why am I not the leader?
Yeah. What's up?
Yo, what up? I mean, GoGo is right. Okay, well, we'll get there.
But I do like the character stuff in this issue 19, especially like the Billy Trini scene where Billy's like, I wish my mom would lay off me. And Trini's like, yo, she thought you were dead you were trapped under rubble for 4 days. I think she's allowed to be concerned.
Yeah, for real. Like, you can chillax, son. I understand. It's not going to... I mean, for a moment, she's going to be on you, like white on rice. Like, it's going to be that way.
I like that, because I think they always illustrate Trini as being kind of the most down-to-earth of the entire group. Whereas, like, she is the one that really, like, understands the depth of what they're doing, you know, as a whole. Like, she gives them perspective. Like, that's her kind of role on the team. And I think that fits really well with, like, with that annual story where she was just chilling. Like, she knows what's up.
Yeah.
Trini's the best.
Yeah.
Straight up.
And also, you know, Kim's dad getting married. She does not like who he's getting married to.
Man, how many dads has Kimberly had?
I know. So many dads. You know what I mean? And then she's just like, oh my gosh, stop trying to hook me up with Tommy.
Oh, no, man, dude. That dad is like, hey, man, come on over, man. You know, buy your food for you. And Tom's like, nah, I'm going to leave. I don't have time. My hair is too long for this. Bye.
Oh, you guys have the same ringtones. Look at you. Oh, look at that. That means you guys like each other. Like, no.
Also, we need to, you know, shout out anytime we can. Billy's mom. She exists and she's there.
Billy's good to mom. Know.
Also, that
his mom's in general.
That second page of the comic has a nice Gravity Falls reference with a guy wearing Dipper's hat. Very nice.
Oh, no way. I didn't see that. That's awesome.
Yep.
Hell yeah.
Love it.
And also, let's talk about how the monster of this issue is called Crover Lord. That is beautiful. Like, that is the most PR name for a monster.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, you gotta embrace the cheese once in a while, man.
It's good. And I'm enjoying that, you know, this issue isn't all Tommy all day. It's a nice change.
Mm-hmm. I kind of like that when we just have an issue that's just like an actual ranger fight, you know, where they have to do something clever to beat the monsters, that sort of thing. Like, it's not going to be the issue that you remember months in the future, but it's still a really fun thing to do once in a while. Because I know they did that during the main saga around like issue like 8 or 9 or something.
Mm-hmm.
Just having that nice, awesome, realistic like ranger fight. Love it.
And who thought of the idea?
Hey,
Zach's MVP, man.
I think that coupled with like with GoGo, where they tell you that like Jason used to be a douche, that like Zach has a very strong case for why he should be the leader, and he's the guy who actually resisted Rita too. So like Zach's, you know, like when the chips are down, Zach's kind of the guy.
Yeah. But why wasn't he the leader?
Zordon is a racist.
Yeah. I just desperately got that. You know what I mean? Yeah.
No, Jason's a leader because he has so much knowledge of the moon, right?
Right? Right?
That's why.
So much knowledge.
Oh, man.
But yeah, I am. I'm trying to look through the other issues if I'm missing.
I did enjoy Finster calling out Saba. He heard a voice. He's like, oh, who's that? Saba's like, I'm not going to tell you. I'm like, see, that's interesting to me because it's like, what if Finster gets a hold of Saba and then does some crazy season 2 nonsense? I don't know. That to me is it's a nice detail to show that like something is askew.
Well, and that's always the thing I always say in any of these types of shows. Don't imprison the smart guy who can't fight, because the smart guy who can't fight, you give him enough time, he'll do something.
Mm-hmm.
He will figure it out. This is all Rhinox right here.
Nice. Yeah. Nice.
I don't know why they imprison. Why do they have Finster near them? I don't understand.
Put him in the basement.
Didn't they capture Scorpina and she like almost killed them all?
Yes. Yes.
Whoops.
Like, just kill off Finster. Why don't you kill off the person who keeps creating the monsters? I don't know.
Or cut his hands off.
Then
he can't make monsters.
Wow. All right.
All right. You're just going there.
Right? Cut the guy's hands off. Problem solved.
Okay. All right.
You aren't building putties with nubs. With Trini's JLA nubs. You aren't building anything.
Also, I love Tommy's scowling face in issue 19 when he's talking to Finster. It's like, I'm mad.
I'm the Green Ranger.
Because even Tommy, like, why are you here? Why are you here?
And then Zach needs to stand up and be like, why are you here?
I mean, like, Tommy is canonically dumb, and he's like, why are you here?
Right.
Just why are we here? Even
the dummy knows.
Mm-hmm.
You know, vote for dummy. Why are we here?
This one time we can vote for dummy.
Jeez. So, yeah, man. Like, I just never understand. I mean, I get it. Like, you want to, like, hold on to the person so that they can tell you what their next plan is. But, like, they going to do that. They're not. So, snip, snip, or cut, cut, or what are you going to do? Just get rid of him.
Mm-hmm.
The end. Get out of here. Anyway, so, but all in all, like, I am enjoying these comics.
They're so good.
Issues.
Yes.
And, you know, from New York Comic Con, we know that it is ramping up, child.
Right.
Because
mm-hmm.
issue 24, is it 24?
I believe.
24? Lord Drakkon. He's coming back, y'all.
You gotta see it.
He was gone. He's coming back, y'all.
I'll be honest. I kind of wish they would do another bigger saga before they come back to him.
To come back to him?
Like, even if it's like a 6-issue saga that's, you know, like, do something, I would say, before we jump back to him.
You're not liking this Finster saga?
I like it, but I would like it to be even longer. Like, I would like
two sagas in between Drakkon.
Yeah, something because, like, and I get it. Lord Drakkon moves the meter. People love him. They want figures of him. They threw him in Legacy Wars 2 seconds after he debuted. I understand the concept of it. But again, enough Tommy for half a second. And that's why GoGo exists.
Hey. Thank the Lord.
Yes. Because, you know, like, we don't have to steal Tommy.
GoGo existing does make the Tommy love in the main comic more bearable, because it's like, oh, look, we get a comic that has no Tommy. Which, like, although I guarantee you sometime in the future there'll be like a GoGo issue where it's like, let's focus on Tommy way before he was a Ranger. Guarantee you it's going to happen. Like, they'll show him in his old town or something.
They'll show him at the store buying his mesh tank tops.
So, I have to say that, you know what, MMPR, it just so happens that I read MMPR and GoGo before we got on at the same time. So, because I think I was reading MMPR, you know, after all the Lord Drakkon stuff kind of died down or whatever, and, you know, there was kind of a lull. But then GoGo just came out, and it was just like, ooh, that's a new hotness. So I'm saying to myself, like, oh, MMPR better watch out. They better watch out, because, you know, this GoGo is popping. It's popping. And now MMPR is back to being popping, and GoGo is still popping. And I'm like,
right?
Look at you.
I think the best thing that explains why we like GoGo is the fact that issue 2, we're only 2 issues in, and they decide that the first 3 pages need to be just spent explaining the relationship between Kimberly and a guy we don't even really know.
Right.
Like, they really want to establish this character so that when we finally, you know, are getting these little pieces here and there of, like, how difficult it is for him to be in this friend group but not be a Ranger, and how much it strains his relationships. Like, it really makes you feel for him as a character. Like, it like, we're all, this entire comic is all about defining these Rangers as characters outside of being Rangers, but then you also get this sixth character in there, and it's a really nice juxtaposition, really explaining that, like, being a Ranger, like, there's collateral damage. Like, it's just very fascinating that every single issue, it's like we're really diving into who they are before they were Rangers, and how being Rangers has really completely changed their lives.
And especially that they really emphasize that with, like, the parent stuff. Like, everything with Trini and her mom in these issues were so good.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, let's just have a moment to say that we saw a mom.
A live mom.
A mom who is alive and well.
A minority mom, even.
And had lines and had dialogue that I would even have just like, Heifer, who? I don't know where you been. If you try and be late one more time, like,
there you go.
No, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I just loved that Trini's whole arc through these issues is basically saying, like, I can never have with my mom what my mom had with her mom. That they were so close and they had such a thing, and I cannot have that with my mom. And that's, like, eating her up inside. And I'm like, oh, that's so good.
Right.
It's so good. Oh, okay. And then, like, to go back to Kim, like, why is this issue trying to make me, or these issues trying to make me feel something, but Kimberly? And make me
is it, how sad is it that in these three pages you felt more for Kimberly than you did in six issues of a miniseries?
Exactly.
She seems like a human being? What? And we didn't need, like, 10,000 pages of voiceover? What?
Of her explaining to us why we should feel bad for her?
Exactly. Oh, and the notion, right? Like, you kind of... And I forgot which issue this was, right? But then it was an issue where it was, like, so many days before arrival day or whatever. And Matt is talking with, you know, Jason and Billy and Trini, Zach, whatever. And he's like, oh, look, yeah, I'm going to introduce my girlfriend. And Ella's like, oh, so you finally introducing you just to her girlfriend? Let me find out. Oh, she better be. And then, like, Zach was like, she better be Cleopatra mixed with this and mixed with that one and the what, you know, so that whole thing, this whole buildup. And then they see that it's Kimberly. And then Zach and Trini are like, heated, yo, like, heated. And I'm, at first I'm just like, wait a minute, are they joking? Is this a joke? Like, are they, like, trying to, like, because is this all a joke? Like, haha, all right, we're just joking, all right, hey, we like you, you're cool. Like, no, they were legit pissed off, legit. And then the white folks are like, oh, what's going on?
I don't know. Yeah, I for real thought, I'm like, was Kimberly a racist? Like, when I read issue two, I'm like, what happened?
It's Salad Girl.
Yo, that's that girl.
Right?
And I'm just like, yo, what does she do? What's going on? And you find out what happened?
You talk about like her name, Romaine.
Yo, like the whole notion that she has famous parents or something? Or
well-to-do.
Well-to-do or whatever. And the notion that, like, she has to sit through their parents fighting and whatever. And then so she kind of takes it out on, you know, the poor Zach, a busboy, just trying to make a living. Just trying to feed.
Just trying to live.
Trying to live, right? And then the father is just like, yo, son, okay. So the parents right. are like, son, you know, you shouldn't take that tone. And he's like, first of all, I ain't your son. I'm like, yeah!
I love that. Yes! That was so good.
That's exactly what I was like. I'm like, first of all, okay, I don't have no tone. Second of all, I ain't your son. Oh my
God. Can we also say third all? Like, Zach looks amazing. Like, purple tie. Like, we were all talking amongst ourselves last night, and we were showing off, like, Zach's outfits from MMPR and how ridiculous they all are, every single one.
Yes.
And here I'm like, yo, purple shirt, purple, flawless, absolutely right. Flawless.
Oh gosh, no, but it's just the notion of having that little bit of backstory as like, no, not everything is roses and whatever. And so now you want to see, like, okay, well, how did Zach and Kimberly, you know, get over the fact that, like, this valley rich girl, whatever, well-to-do salad girl, whatever, you know, is chopping it up with the black dude and, like, the person that, like,
yeah.
got fired and all of the things. I'm just like, what?
Mm-hmm.
And also, like, why is it that Trini is the one to be like, man, F this girl, and Jason and Billy are sort of like, what?
Because minorities stick together, son.
All right, I want to see that. I want to see the moment where, like, we have the flashback where Zach is telling Trini about this. No. I love the idea that they're all four of them are talking, and Jason and Billy are like, yeah, you know, whatever. And Trini just nods. She's like, I know what's up.
Yeah,
I get you.
Just like white people.
But remember, Jason and Billy had no idea what was going on. So
okay,
that couldn't happen. That can't happen.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Oh man. I can't wait.
And I love, and the other main thing is the whole story between Billy and Skull.
Oh man, so adorbs.
I love it so much because we have seen in the series like flashes of like Skull's not a stupid person. Like he has talents. They've shown that a few times before, and like here we get the idea that you know like Skull was a good kid by and large. And something happened that made him stray away from Billy and stick with Bulk. And it's another little story where it's like, you know, all they just keep setting this up, like little pieces here, like all of these interesting things that happened that got us to the point. Because, yeah, we start season one, episode one, with just like, oh, five teenagers with attitude, they're all the best friends, blah, blah, blah. But like all of this amazing setup to get them to that point. Like,
you know, it's all worth it for the scene where Skull's talking to Blue Ranger and he's like, oh, dude, I love the Power Rangers. They're yes. so great. And Billy's like, yeah, you know, the Power Rangers see everything, right? Everything.
Right.
I'm like, that is so sinister and I love it.
Right. But, I know you lying.
But the thing, though, right, the thing with Skull was I thought something with Billy saying, like, you know, like, why you just keep picking on me? Like, why? It's because, like, you know, I'm smarter than you? And Skull's like, no, because you always think you're smarter than me. I'm like, no!
Yeah. It's like, he's like, you never let us forget that you're smarter than us. Like, I think that was great because it really gave you this idea that, like, yes, Billy's the good guy, and Skull's always painted as the bad guy, but that doesn't, it's not a black and white issue.
Right.
Like, maybe Billy really did, like, through not intentionally, but he made him feel worthless. Like, and then, sure, maybe Bulk treats him kind of crappy, but he still always is his best friend, and they're always together and everything, so maybe that's kind of what he needs. So, like, but it's remember, not the best relationship.
But remember, like, even when they were kids and they would, like, do their role-playing stuff or whatever, like, Billy would have all this mumbo-jumbo, like, yes, and we're going to do the blah, and this, and that, and then Skull's like, yeah, we're going to do this. Yeah, let's have fun. Because that's kind of foreshadowing of just like, oh, okay, you just trying to throw all your big university words at me and everything while we playing and act like I'm dumb and everything. I'm just like, you know what? We gonna have fun, okay? They're so chill, bruh. So it was a little bit, not too much, but just enough where you're like, you know what? I can see you. I see you, Skull. I see you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you also see that, like, they were very, you know, Skull kind of had a nerdy side to him, like kind of geeky side, but then you see his older brother, which looks a lot more like present-day Skull.
Right.
So you can see that's, you know, like when you got your older brother sitting there basically telling you that what you're doing is lame.
Yo. And older brother was just like, yo, I stole money from mom because, you know, there ain't no food home. So are we going to get a pizza? Yo, like, yo, so you better come now or else you won't be hungry. Yo,
that's mm-hmm. so good.
Right? There's like multiple layers here.
And then like Billy's like, yo, we can come by. We're doing Stroganoff. Oh, we're Stroganoff. You can come by. And
then they do the fist bump and they call themselves Skull and Bones. I'm like, oh no, so messed up.
Oh no. So he just replaced him with another B. Oh.
Mm-hmm. I think the other interesting relationship, too, is, like, what's developing with Jason and Trini? Like,
yo, Trini is all like, you know what? All right, I'm not gonna throw up. I'm not gonna vomit. I'm not gonna throw up. Hey, so you wanna come with me and do this project? You know, not that type of project. Hey,
she land, but you know when they're doing their project, she lands right on top of him. Though I'm like, mm-hmm. That's hot.
Like, it's kind of weird. Because it feels like on one hand, they kind of like each other. But on the other hand, it's kind of like they're both just really obsessed with the power. Like, they both kind of really get off on it.
And we saw in the main line in issue 17 where Trini's like, yeah, I can't go back to my normal life. I'm piling in a Zord. I can't do normal stuff. And they even have the bonding thing where, you know, Trini is like, oh, you know, like, I really like my mom and da da da. Like, what about you, Jason? Jason's like, yeah, my parents stay out of my way and I stay out of theirs. Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, yes.
I mean, like, it's nice to see that Trini is being the one that is the pursuer, what's the word, is the one that's going for it, you know what I mean? You know,
yeah,
like, you're not just wait, you know, it's not, she's not just waiting for some dude to come up and roll up to her, be like, oh, hey, you want to go to the dining,
hey, how you living,
like, mm-hmm. Yeah, like, she's like, hey, look, I think we have this in common. I think this project will be great because we have it in common. And then when Jason, dumb as rocks, doesn't catch on, he's just like, yo, let's invite the rest of the team. And she's like, but wait, we haven't there's other things that we haven't exercised fully, and he's like, yeah, but the rest of the team has to learn it, right? He's just like, yeah, but sure, okay. Like, she doesn't catch on, like, how normal people would act, because there's usually one person that doesn't catch on. Another person is trying to be all like, hey, I like you, but I can't say because, you know, I'm not supposed to, because, you know, the canon is you're not supposed to be with any girls. It's only Billy with fish and things. So, you know, it's great. It's great. It's great. I love it.
Jason has a lot of other stuff going on in his life. He doesn't even notice that stuff. He's got a lot of... we got to learn more about this guy's home life. I want to see a little bit more of that.
Yeah, I want to know... Okay. So we brought up a little bit, right? About how Zach was just was questioning Zordon, like, yo. Okay. Why ain't I the leader? Like, I do all... Like, and to be truthful, it reminded me of times where, as a person of color, you do all the right things, you go above and beyond, you might not even be perfect in all the things, right? But you feel like you have done enough in order to get a position. And then you see the white dude get it. And not saying that they're horrible, but, like, you know, you do the things, and then white person gets it. So Zach's like, yo, Zordon, so what's up? Like usually we don't go and just ask, like, yo, what's up, how come I didn't get it? We usually just like, well, I guess I have to work harder, because that is what is in our psyche, that, oh, well, you didn't get it because you didn't work hard enough. Like, no, we tend to work extra hard and still don't get it. So I like that part. I was just like, oh snap, he's going to Zordon. And then Zordon clearly knows he's speaking out of turn, clearly knows that he shouldn't be saying this, right? Especially people of color. Oh, we gonna remember that stuff. He's like, oh he did something wrong. Oh, he used to be bad in the past. Oh, I see how it, okay. All right, I do one wrong thing. I don't get ahead. But, you know, other people, oh, you remind me. Oh, y'all, oh, you, Zordon, remind. Oh, you, okay. Yeah, you guys are like, I see. I see how it is. So I just, the whole.
Yeah, because all I would hear as Zach being like, yeah, you know, Jason made a horrible mistake, but he's making up for it. I would just be like, if I was Zach, I'd be like, yeah, but I didn't make any mistakes. Like, none. So, mm-hmm. What you doing? It's no wonder that he was tempted by Rita, you know, because Rita was like, hey, hey, Zach, like, you want these cool powers that Jason doesn't have? You want them?
Can we talk about Rita for a second?
You sure?
Hot young Rita?
I was about to say. I'm about to say.
Like, oh, yeah. A little bit.
Looking kind of nice in Go-Go. Like, she's looking... So, I don't know if they are trying to, you know, woo the little boys who might read this comic. I don't know, but, you know, Ryu's, you know, look like she got some work done, you know what I mean?
Looking good.
And so Rita, on the other hand, she just like, you know what? All these monsters, you know what? This is not the right tactic for right now, you know? Fine, Finster, send one down one of your monsters. That's fine. But you know what I need? I need somebody in disguise. Okay? So she sent down some, you know, Rita Twin, whatever. And Rita Twin is going around town like, I am looking for the Power Rangers. Oh, I am looking for people's name who is Trini, Jason, Bill. I'm like, okay, Heffa, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing?
Let's not forget, though, that she had the best line of the entire comic when she referred to Ernie as Awkward Juice Man.
Oh, yes. Also, I love that Ernie gets things to do, by the way.
Dude, even Miss Appleby had things to do.
Wait a minute. I'm sorry. When did Miss Appleby actually teach a particular topic?
Right.
No, like, question marks?
Different universe.
When is she the biology teacher? Like, how is this a... No, she needs...
She's the everything teacher.
That's all you do. You do show and tells and question marks, Miss Appleby. That's your lane.
That is your lane. Stay in it.
Stay in your lane, Miss Appleby.
I just love that she pulls Billy aside and is like, yo, man, you're great. You're slipping. What's wrong, Billy? I'm like, oh. And also we see Mr. Kaplan. Oh,
he has crazy hair too. He's going everywhere.
Well, I mean, he's always crazy hair. But hold up.
His hair's wig that day is doing good.
Like, there's so many things I want to talk about, but like, let's talk about first crazy lady, coming down to Earth looking for Power Rangers and whatever, right? So, you know, I mean, out of everything that was happening in these issues, I'm going to say she's the weakest until the end, which, you know, they had to whatever. But, you know, she was the weakest out of the everything that was going on, because I'm just like, yeah, this is typical Power Rangers. Like, this right here is just like, okay, stilted dialogue. Okay. Like, whatever. That's fine. But everything else around it, though. Everything else around, like, all the other characters that you normally don't hear from, like, your Miss Applebee's, and, like, her saying, like, oh, yes, you're my favorite student. I'm like, you ain't supposed to say
that. You can't say that kind of thing.
Say that. I mean, you're supposed to think it. We're not supposed to say it, you know? And like, how, like, all the Rangers are dealing with, like, they're them losing track of time, and you're like, oh my goodness, I can't believe I missed this exam, or I missed, like, real life, like, actual real life that would actually happen.
Mm-hmm.
It helps to sell the incredible situations when you ground it in something that is very realistic.
Yeah, like, I loved how when she had Miss Appleby had a little speech to Billy, and then she tells him that, like, you know, you have to worry about your grades. Somebody else has to save the world. And, you know, and he's just, like, stuck in this spot where, like, you know, you can't say, no, I am the one that has to save the world. I have a legitimate excuse for why my grades might be suffering a little bit. You know, like, you're really stuck between a rock and a hard place, and it really gives the notion of, like, being a ranger isn't the fun all the time that the TV show always made it out to be.
Well, even the world around them, like, there's a great scene where Bulk and Skull come into class and Miss Appleby's like, what you doing? It's like, we don't need to learn anything anymore. The world's going to end. It's like, and they even say, like, yeah, the biology textbook's out of date. Doesn't mention aliens. Or, like, Ernie's going to, like, lose the juice bar because of all the alien stuff. And it's only because, you know, kids pitch in like they would in the show and help them out.
Yeah, it's a far different world from the Power Rangers Turbo, where they just give monster tours.
Oh god, I forgot about that.
Right? And it's just not a big deal.
And they also give a reason why people would stay in Angel Grove too.
All right, they call it Alien Grove. Am I right?
Oh, wink.
But you yeah. Know, okay. I hear myself. Why do I hear myself?
You sound fine to me.
Sound fine to me?
Well, I hear myself. Okay, now I don't. Okay. So, yeah, like, you have Ernie. Jason teaches some intermediate karate class. Whoop-de-woo. Nobody cares. But when we started caring, is that Ernie's just like, oh, that's great. Glad you're teaching these. Too bad it's gonna be your last. Like, what? Like, yeah, I have to close down the youth center because nobody wants to work. Like, so if you can find me some free child labor, that'd be awesome.
I'll pay you in free drinks.
And pay you in drinks? Nothing else. So, this whole notion of, like, wait a minute, like, the youth center could go away? Like, the youth center, like, the school should never go away. Like, that doesn't, like, you never think that could go away. But that could go away. And the notion of, like, people don't even want to earn money to go work at the youth center. They're like, you know what? I'm good with these. I'm not gonna live here no more. I'm gonna go live somewhere else and work somewhere else where there aren't any monsters. Because it's not just they don't want to work at the youth center, okay? They don't want to work in Angel Grove, so they're moving. They're moving out of the city. Like, that's another thing that you never saw on the show. Like, you have the same people doing the same things, getting attacked by the different monsters, but really the same type of monsters, and nobody ever moved no way. So, this comic right here, so nice. So nice!
I also, it's a joy. Like, I love how, like, because, you know, another juxtaposition is, like, at the end of every single episode of the TV show, it's always like, oh, we all get together and we make fun of Bulk and Skull and then we laugh. Ha ha ha. End of episode. But here, it's like, the big battle that took a couple issues is over, seemingly over, and you've got Zach, who's having his confrontation with Zordon, Jason, who's feeling awful about himself still, Billy, who it's such a gut punch to see, like, Bulk show this amazing care for Skull that he didn't show. Like, the only person having a mildly good moment is Trini with her mom, and then Kimberly's just stuck sleeping in the hospital with Matt. Like, it all ends fairly melancholy, you know? Like, it's not like this nice little wrapped up ending. And even beyond that, they don't even know the worst part, the cliffhanger. Like, it's like, it's super legit how they always just, there's fallout. There's always fallout if a giant monster attacks the city.
Yo, that cliffhanger, yo.
Right? With the crazy,
that's good,
putty hive.
So, the cliffhanger, y'all, like, Kimberly is, okay, before the cliffhanger, right? You have, like, the city's under attack and everything, and well, okay, it's Angel Day. We're here in Angel Day, right? Trini's the one to spearhead Angel Day. So you have the teens that we know well, and Matt, they're helping out with Angel Day. Trini and Billy are talking to the news. You have another altercation with Bulk and Billy. And then Jason's just like, bro, like, you need to stop. Like, you need to cut this foolishness. And Bulk is all like, and what? And Jason's all like, well, I'm gonna push you to the ground. Like, you know, normal people would do. But here comes messed up toupee face Kaplan. Be like, oh, you, Bulk, you need to stop bothering students. And Jason, you need to stop saving people who need help and using violence. Like, get out of here with your whataboutism. Get out of here. You know?
But, like, but Jason, we know, has a history, though, so maybe that's why Kaplan's hard on him.
Well, we don't know what type of history.
We don't, but we know it's not a good one. We know, because Jason basically admits that he used to be a bully. So,
but here's the thing.
even if he has good intentions, uses bullying tactics, I can see why Kaplan would be on him.
Is it bullying, though? I'm sorry. If somebody is being violent because you're throwing some sand or whatever on somebody else, and you're not leaving them alone, and your words ain't enough to leave them alone, yeah, bro, your face is going to meet the pavement. That's
true.
What's going to happen.
But this isn't 1993. This is 2017 with zero tolerance, and everybody gets in trouble for every little thing.
Well, I'm sorry. I still live in 2017 where people punch a Nazi and they're crying. It's fine.
This is 2017 where a high school, I heard a story on the news where they decided to cancel Halloween because they didn't think it was inclusive. So instead they had Black and Orange Spirit Day.
What?
That's some people stuff. I don't know.
I'm just saying that, like, I understand, like, why, like, the whole, the sort of Jason that we saw in the movie where he's just going to punch you or whatever if you're a bully, and it's fine because you're the good guy. Like, it doesn't really jive. Like, an authority person is going to jump on you even if you're in the right.
That's some BS.
It is. Like, I agree.
Real BS. I'm sorry. The bully needs to get punched in the face.
I agree.
They're not going to learn unless they got somebody to jack them up and then they won't do it again. How about that, Mr. Kaplan? So now his toupee-looking fool going to come in and be like, well, now both of you guys have to come with me. And then, like, you know, monsters attack, blah, 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 blah. All right, now I have to save the two of you now, so let's push you into the supermarket. And, oh, no, you can't go anywhere, mister. I have to save you. Like, oh, man, what you going to do? Oh, man, what you going to do? You're just going to find...
Although in the movie, Jason jacked up Ed Sheeran, and then Ed Sheeran still tried to go break Billy's wrist, so that didn't stop him.
But Ed Sheeran kept having wrong happen to him, and so at some point you get the notion, like, you know, even God don't like you, so stop.
Because you're ginger?
So stop, you know, because you're a bully, and God don't like bullies, okay? God will push you into the pavement. Anyway, so you have Jason is separated from the team. You have, and then Kimberly is also separated from the team because she's with Matt, and Matt is going to try and protect her from, like, a 20-foot, not a 20-foot, a 20-story, like, monster. Like, okay. Let's talk about for a second. Matt, you know, I was with you. I was all, like, pro Matt. You know what I mean? I'm just like, yo, I feel you. You know that something's up with your friends. You know it. Don't let them lie to you like that. You need to press on, brother. Press on. But then you're going to want to be dumb and want to try to defend your girlfriend of 2 seconds from a monster that is...
He's trying to play the hero.
50 stories tall with, like, 5 billion fangs, okay? With a baseball bat. Like, what are you doing? Why don't y'all both run? How about that? I don't know. So, like, that seemed a little ham-fisted to me. I'm just like, Matt, you're dumb. Stop.
You're dumb.
Stop.
It's very much the story from In Space too. With was it Cassie? She couldn't morph
because
she was with the dude in the
when she the date she was forced on. Yeah.
Yeah.
I see. I vaguely remember that, but I see.
It was not the greatest episode. Let's be fair.
No. But it was a story directly from Mega Ranger, and in Mega Ranger, that guy was the guy who played the Yellow Ranger from Jew Ranger.
It was Boy. And also the Mega Ranger episode was, like, the exact same episode.
Yes, exactly. That's one thing people do not realize, is that as much as they like In Space is a lot of Mega Ranger.
Especially that Psycho Ranger arc, which is overrated. What?
Yeah. I think both Mega Ranger and In Space are overrated, but that's just me.
Like, In Space, still good, but, you know.
Good, yeah, but overrated.
So back to the comic.
Yes.
So Kimberly got separated. Jason got separated. So you just had Billy, Trini, and Zach trying to fend for themselves and waiting to form a Megazord that may or may not happen or whatever. And poor guys, like they were trying. But you had Matt and his inability to take a hint. and then, so of course he gets knocked around and, you know, by the monster. And then Zach flies in and he was just like, "Hello, person I have never met. Are you okay? Oh, your friend is not okay. Well, maybe you should go and get to safety, person I don't know." And at first she's not catching on. Not catching on at all. He's like, "I'm gonna stay with..." I mean, I don't know what white people. Like, I felt like he wanted to say, "Look, white people, okay? You need to listen to me, person I don't know, and go and morph. Go! Get out of here!" But, you know. So, I mean, those little touches of, like, Zach just, you know, just doing the right thing and trying to keep this team together before the Red Ranger comes in at the last moment and tries to save the day and form the Megazord and everything's great, you know.
Like, I love that Bulk called Jason Juice Boy. I love it so much. Although the other weird thing I have mentioned before is, like, I don't understand why in this comic, like, Zach is twice Jason's size. He's the giant ripped one, and Jason looks kind of normal compared to him.
I don't know. Like, this comic, it has a... Yeah,
Can we also say that, like, Zach bold-faced lying to Matt? Matt's like, "Yo, dude, like, what's wrong? Like, why are you guys acting so weird?" And Zach's like, "Nah, man, nothing. You know, everything's fine." He's like, "You tell me, right?" Zach's like, yeah, totally, dude. It's like, oh, Zach.
Did I ever tell people in the third grade that you were talking to a pencil? Like, did I ever mention that to anybody? Except for the readers of this comic. Did I ever tell anybody that? No. So, man, I got you.
Another thing, by the way, I love the one page of the Megazord forming.
Beautiful.
It is a fantastic piece of art. I love that.
Like, that's some poster goodness right there.
Yes. Fan-friggin-tastic. Like, I really like the art style for Gogo. Like, it does have definitely a large anime influence to it, but it isn't, like, over-the-top obnoxious.
Yes.
It wasn't the Justice League foolishness.
Where they all look like they're 60? Yeah. Yes.
Exactly. So, yeah. I dig the art. I dig, like, and then I feel, I know we're skipping around a lot and different.
That's fine.
It's just...
Well, it really is one continuous story. Like, it's not like we're just talking about individual issues back and forth. So it's fair game.
Yeah, but the whole notion of when you were referencing that, like, near the end of 4, everybody is, you know, like, everyone's not, like, in the greatest of spaces.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Except for Trini. Trini, you know, she kind of, like, you know, redeemed herself.
Yes.
She's about to be in trouble with her mamas.
Mm-hmm.
But you have Kimberly, you know, still with Matt, feeling bad for many, many old reasons. And Zach's coming in like, "Yo, what's up, man? Hey, gonna visit my friend that I lied to, bold-faced lied to." And you know that ain't Matt, though. Y'all know it ain't Matt, because the last page, you just have poor Matt is... Now, is Matt... Does it look like he's captured? Does he look like he's dead? Does he look like...
He's Jesus'd. He's all hung up in a putty hive.
I think Rita's using him to get information on the other Rangers. He's like using his memories or his mind to like learn more about them, maybe, so she can F with them.
And then what happened to the Rita's sister? Like, what happened to,
That was the giant monster.
Oh, the giant monster. Oh, she turned into. Oh,
yeah. They didn't actually show it directly. It was just implied.
I see. Okay.
Well, I think this ending is kind of like how you said earlier, Seamus, about how the two writers talk to each other. Mm-hmm. I think this is a human putty clone that Finster made.
Ooh, nice.
See? That'd work really well.
Interesting. Interesting indeed.
That would work really well. Yo, also, Trini gets her mom the little rock from the garden. She's like, oh, there's no way you could have flown to Korea and picked it up. And Trini's like, huh, yeah, right, sure.
Oh, teleport. What?
Yep, personal gain. That's right.
Oh, that's right. Zoran's going to be pissed.
No, he's too busy telling Zach that, you know, you're not the leader for reasons.
You're too black to be the leader.
But wait a minute. Remember, wasn't it Go-Go where they're just like, but wait, like, can't we just tell our parents? But wait, can't we just like, what? How come we have to hide our identities? And he was just like, if you break any of these rules, you will lose all your powers forever.
Yeah, he was straight up. He's straight. Like, there was no BS. He's like, yeah, if you do that, you're not having your powers. So, you know.
Yeah. So
good luck.
Yo, but Trini just like broke them. Like,
I would love if they explored that. If Zordon was like, called Trini in, he's like, so Trini, how was your mom's birthday? It's like, oh, you know, pretty great, Zordon. So, how'd you get that gift, Trini? Oh, my bad.
Many calls.
Frequent flyer miles.
Yeah.
He calls up the viewing globe, shows her what she did. It's like, I know what you did. I know what you did, Trini. I want that. Issue number 5. Let's go.
Trini gets scolded. No.
This is like, well, it's not as bad as, you know, killing a bunch of team members. Oh.
Oh.
Yeah. Like, yeah, Zordon, I can talk to my predecessor. How about the rest of my team?
What?
Oh. I would love that if they did do a story about breaking one of these rules. Because, like, they never really did that. They never really had a story where somebody, like, straight up broke it. Like, there was Justin, like, you know, doing stuff, and Kat was like, hey, Justin, stop acting a fool. But there was, yeah, we got to have a story where somebody breaks a rule, and Zordon calls him on it.
Yeah, that would be very interesting. Like, you don't understand, like, Go-Go is such joy. It is such
life.
Joy.
Yes.
I love it. I love it. Like, you know what? Hey, Saban and co., do you see what we're doing right now? Do you see what myself and my co-hosts are doing right now? This is joy. This is joy. You know what you could do with the show that you currently are producing? Bring joy.
Yeah, that's the thing that gets me, that sort of makes me not like the show more, is that somebody in Saban is signing off on this comic. So they know it's good, right? Unless they're not reading it, which, you know, whatever. If they're not reading it, that's a whole other problem. But it's like, you guys are approving this, and you're like, yo, this is quality. But then you're also seeing the scripts for the show, and you're like, yeah, sure, that's fine, too. It's like, come on.
I just don't understand why they can't get the concept of, like, the reason why we like these comics, and the reason why we like certain seasons of Power Rangers, and the reason why we hate other seasons of Power Rangers, it all boils down to one basic concept, and that's humanizing these characters, making them believable, giving them faults, making me care about them when they're not in the spandex. Like, that's all you have to do. That is the key concept to making a good series versus a bad series. And for some reason, they have not been able to figure that out with the TV show in, like, however many years it's been back. Like, 6-7 years. Like,
and it's how? The thing is that to make the morphed situations be more impactful, you have to make these human situations more relatable. They have to be grounded in something. And even something like, say, Andros searching for Zordon or whatever is not the most relatable thing ever, but it's grounded and still in a real emotion, you know? Mm-hmm. Again, we don't have to have everybody, you know, like, oh, you know, I'm having a bad time with, you know, my parents or whatever. Like, that doesn't need to be every season, but it still needs to feel like a real emotion.
Yeah. Exactly. And don't think like, oh, well, we're just writing for 3-year-olds. Like,
it's not an excuse.
That's not it. Like, that's not it, because 3-year-olds will still enjoy the colors and the rainbows. So
yeah,
die. You know,
3-year-olds. 3-year-olds like Marvel movies. I'm saying it right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Telling you.
It's okay. It's quite all right if you did not try and make your TV show and not so great cartoon. Like, because I can't even say, like, oh, they're like cartoon characters. Like, no, you know, there's actually like cartoon series that are pretty decent. So we can't even say that.
Steven Universe.
Voltron.
So yeah. It really is. And I don't want people to say, like, man, you guys, all you do is crap on whatever, blah, blah. And I'm like, no, see, this is joy. See, talking about comics. Talking about good stuff, talking about things or whatever.
Yeah.
So, you know, but it's a different demographic and everything. I'm just like, you know, there are people who can enjoy things that are not for their target demo, but that doesn't mean that you can't criticize on what kind of quality it is. Because, hey, I know that there's certain shows that are definitely not for me. Barney the Dinosaur. Not for me. You know, Blue's Clues back when I was on. Not necessarily for me. You know, like certain shows that are very repetitive and certain shows that are specifically made for children. And there's a reason why they are repetitive. It's because they're for educational purposes, and they need to repeat things in order to ingrain in the children their propaganda. So,
yeah. And they're educational shows. I understand.
Understood. But this is a toy commercial, so let's just cut the BS, okay?
Also, like, if your show is meant to be for 3-year-olds, why is your Red Ranger a slave for 10 years? What's that about?
Oh.
So you can say all you want that this show is for boys who are 3 to 8 or whatever you want to say. I don't know. 3 to 6. I don't know what their demo is. Forget it. I forget. But you can say that, but you can also not have a show that is just there as a toy commercial. Like, we understand it's a toy commercial. We get it. We're not, like, completely naive. But elevate the toy commercial a little bit. You know, like, we have commercials now that aren't just commercials. They're actually things that we remember and enjoy as entertainment. Do that. That's it. That's it. Because you know what? When you write shows that we actually, more than just the children who are peeing in the pants, you know, would enjoy, then that means your commercial keeps getting talked about over and over again as something that's great, and that means more of a chance of it translating into, like, hey, buy more stuff from this thing that more people would like.
And again, the operative logic of it's for 3-year-olds so we don't have to try, that's flawed, because then I would say, no, if, because by that you're saying that 3-year-olds will watch anything. It's like, okay, then make something good so that other people could like it too. You know what I mean? Like, because again, I've said it a million times, if they like legit went all out on a PR season and made it like legit up to modern day storytelling, like Voltron or whatever, there would be so many websites writing articles being like, but actually Power Rangers doesn't suck. Guarantee you it would happen.
I mean, it would take a while for the stigma of
oh yeah sure I mean, they would have to really, like, go all out. Like, they would have to do something big.
Mm.
But they could make it happen. Like, if they did, like, an actual relatable plot line, or they introduced, like, you know, more diversity or something, you know?
Well, that was supposed to be this season.
Well, you know. Oh, well. You know, we tried. Hashtag we tried.
I mean, and technically it is still this season, but, you know, they don't reference race at all on this show ever, because everybody is the same.
Just wait for the holiday episode where everybody's celebrating Christmas and nobody celebrates anything else. So it'll be fine. It'll be fine.
It's okay. It's fine. You know, yeah. Oh, look, all this diversity. Oh, look, they all look different. Oh, no, wait. No, they don't. No, because we're not going to reference anything about race ever, like, or cultural differences. No. Like, what?
Meanwhile, in the comic, Trini's talking about rock gardens and stuff. I'm like, see, little things go a long way.
It just boggles my mind. We're not talking about Ninja Steel today. We're not talking about Ninja Steel. We're talking about comics. I am not gonna delve down into this rabbit hole. Okay, Ninja Steel. We did your block already.
We'll see you when you're done.
Yeah.
Yep. See you when Sledge shows up.
Yeah. I can't. But the reason why I brought up the show is because we are capable of liking a thing.
Yeah, we're not haters.
And expressing, you know, the like and love for a thing. Okay. So.
It's so simple. When something's good, we like it. When something's a pile of crap, we hate it. It's not any more complex than that.
Yeah. Tarona, pour one out for Tarona, yo.
Right? Yeah, pour one out.
Aw.
Give him an annual story. You know what I'm saying? Give him something.
Should maybe be pouring one out for the three dead people?
Nah.
Oh,
nah.
Okay.
Nah.
Okay.
Nah.
Russia guy, who cares? Well, hippie guy... Hippie guy was a pink Power Ranger, so maybe pour out half one for him.
Pour all the way out for pink, male pink, because that was short lived. Because I was just like, I wonder how they're gonna get rid of this male pink. Yep, that's the way. Pour all the way one out for, you know, okay, hit Brito girl, you know.
Great. What's her name?
Whatever. Jamie.
Jamie.
Okay, she was okay. But
female Black Ranger. Come on, that deserves a little bit.
I understand, but she... I mean, out of everybody, she was, like, the least interesting to me, so I don't really care. I mean, okay. But, Tarona, you're out there somewhere. You are out there.
My Tarona.
My Tarona's coming back, y'all. He's coming back! Oh, yes. References that nobody knows. Awesome! Well, maybe that, you know, maybe that's...
Can that be the episode title, My Tarona?
Of course it is.
Yes!
I don't even think that's up for debate.